happy day.
Oh, happy day.
When Jesus wore.
Jesus wore.
Oh, when he wore.
Jesus wore.
When Jesus wore.
When Jesus wore.
He washed my sins away.
Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Oh, happy day.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. We're going to be probing a lot of issues involving how to live a longer life. For example, our first discussion today will be a study from Harvard Medical School talking about how we can have better hearts, healthier hearts, and less prone to heart attack and stroke if we boost our EPA levels from fish oil. So that's important. And think of all the people who are going to die from a heart attack or stroke, or who are going to have one and survive. That's about every 60 seconds, more or less. So it's a huge problem that's deadly, and we can help prevent it. We have a lot more behind that. Then today, to help everyone who is reacting appropriately or inappropriately to the coronavirus, we're going to share with you what we can do, what physicians should be advocating and nurses, but what you will at least know will be one way that we can help protect our upper respiratory tract, and that is with different botanicals, dietary measures, foods, juices. So simple, effective, natural ways to maintain a healthy respiratory system. And we should want to do that no matter what. It's as if the only problem for our respiratory system is the coronavirus. Not true. There are many other conditions that can adversely affect us. So we're going to be dealing with all this. Then, time permitting, I also want to share a preview of a documentary that's going to air tonight at 7 p.m. on the Progressive Commentary Hour that will be very important. Why? Because it documents from independent award-winning journalists and people who were there in person, both patients and clinicians, the reversal of HIV and AIDS in over a long period of time, 11 years to 15 years, at two different medical centers, staffed with board-certified physicians. And yet none of this information has been revealed or released to the American public, and yet all the mainstream media, all the scientific journals, all of the AIDS organizations were made aware, come in, see it, interview the patients, interview the doctors, look at the protocols. We want to share this information with you because these are natural, non-toxic ways of saving lives. So there was a concerted boycott. Don't allow anything into the media, anything from anyone that can show a different way to help people with immune compromised systems and AIDS and HIV, unless it's through drugs. If it's a drug, no matter how toxic or dangerous, no matter how ill-begotten that drug is, promote it. And that's what happened. This represents, in my opinion, a crime against humanity, because people knew that what they were doing was causing the death, at least in the initial several years of AIDS with AZT, and they said it was working and it wasn't. The science showed it was not only not working, it was actually killing the people. Hundreds of thousands died, and yet people were profiting from this, just like people today are profiting from the coronavirus. but not you and not I. But the $2 trillion, just the beginning, by the way, it'll go much higher, that's going to be handed out. It's going to be handed out to the people who are in the Washington Inside the Belt groups. Same way it was with AIDS. So this is a very important program tonight. You're going to see it. You're going to read the letters. You're going to see the actual proof. Now then, if you went to Wikipedia, you'd see just the opposite. That somehow Gary Null is an AIDS denier. Well, let me briefly read you now just a short couple paragraphs from a highly respected intellect, a member of the high-end part of the liberal establishment for the last 50 years, a journalist who did his own research, who visited the center when it was open, knew about this, and now has come forward to write this article. This is separate from the documentary. But here's what he wrote. Today, AIDS is still a major epidemic, killing more than 17,000 Americans every year. So if a proven cure really exists, and it does, why isn't it big news? Why are the pharmaceutical industry, the American Medical Association, and the federal government, and mainstream media all conspiring to deny such a cure exists? A cynical person might say it's because treating AIDS patients, i.e. mitigating their symptoms, but not curing the disease itself, is very profitable, whereas curing patients so they no longer need treatment is not profitable because it eliminates a huge revenue stream. How huge is that revenue stream? At an average yearly cost of $39,000 per patient for drugs, treating the 1.2 million Americans who currently suffer from AIDS adds up to $40 billion a year for the pharmaceutical industry. And that does not even include doctors' fees, hospital costs, which could double that amount. So perhaps it is not surprising that those who profit from treating AIDS would not welcome a cure that might deplete their bank accounts by as much as $80 billion a year, which is why 17,000 Americans will be dead within the next 12 months, even though many could be totally cured and 100% HIV-free, paying $39,000 a year for AIDS drugs, and without risking the life-threatening reactions that those dangerous antiretroviral drugs can impose upon AIDS sufferers? Who is the man who discovered a cure for AIDS, and what happened when he brought his cure to the attention of the medical profession? The story of a young medical researcher, a PhD graduate named Gary Null, who discovered the cure for AIDS more than 40 years ago, only to see his life-saving discovery denied and suppressed by the medical and pharmaceutical establishment, is a shameful episode in medical history, which has resulted in needless agony and death for more than 675,000 Americans who did not have to die. Isn't it finally time to rescue America's more than 1 million AIDS sufferers from the threat of slow and painful debilitation and death that they must confront each and every day of their lives? How AIDS exploded into an epidemic that killed 675,000 Americans who did not have to die. And then it goes into a long article. That entire article I'll be reading in an extended version after the documentary, which was just completed last night, on this very same subject, that AIDS is not a death sentence. So here's the irony. The only person on the planet to prove by all scientific standards, all medical evidence, all independent analysis of blood workups, regular monthly, the examinations of their blood by Roche labs, the total chronology all in place, a total of proven 18 people, 10 at one medical institution, 8 at another. And instead of saying, isn't this important that we follow up on this, go visit this, talk with the patients, the medical staff, look at the records, all of which the patients agreed to, share the records. Instead, on Wikipedia, quote, oh, he's just an AIDS denier, because a tiny fraction of those in the AIDS community who held total power and aligned themselves with the pharmaceutical approach, and then others who benefited having their organizations receive money from the manufacturers of AZT, could not allow this information, this truth, to come forward. So you, the public, these listeners, will have the truth. Please share it. Do I expect the media to do anything honorable? No. Will this change the medical paradigm? Not at all. Will this allow any journalists to finally realize that they self-censored and chose the establishment as the only bastion of truth instead of looking for the patients, doctors, and those researchers like Celia Farber and others who knew the truth all these decades, but they dared not write what these people could have stories have told? Nothing will change. Not a single person's life will be saved because of this expose. That is not to suggest that we shouldn't know the truth. It is to suggest that that's how much power the media, complicit as lapdogs for mainstream, not just in this area, in all areas, in the body politic areas, are controlled by special interest groups. But at least you will have the hard evidence finally in your hands. You'll have the letters. You'll have the documentation. You'll hear the journalist, Errol Caldwell, Bill Tatum, Doug Henderson, and Tony Brown, Bill McCreary. You'll hear all of these people. And interesting, how about that? All from the African-American community. Not a single one from the Caucasian community, who took the time and had no pre-existing biases. Look for the truth. Spent months before they would interview me and the patients. But when the evidence was so overwhelming that we were curing people, overwhelming that people were getting better, 1,200, not one died, that they felt they had to take this message forward. And they did. Was this message somehow kept a secret? Tony Brown's on over 427 PBS stations. No. That's how much power they have to blacklist, to put a blackout on. And they did. At least you'll know the truth. And you hear some of that truth later today. I'm going to play a little segment of it. I'll play a short clip. Not of me, but of the people giving testimony who were there. The clinicians. Sorry, I was up most of the night writing this report, and I did a long lecture last night. All told, about 5 hours. And by the way, the good news is that all that lecturing, including last night, has been sent to New York. About five of the lectures have now ended up in our studio. As of today, they're going to be labeled and sent out, some over to the people doing this program from home, others to YouTube, so you can all benefit from this. And the one I did last night was, why do we get old? Why do our cells age? Why do people age at different levels? Are any of the diseases that we call aging diseases really aging diseases, or are they lifestyle diseases, and how does that happen? How do we reverse this? So it's a long lecture because I had a lot to share, especially to the general public who wants some kind of guided, structured information they can use to start changing their life now. Now, if any time is a time to get strong and healthy and detoxify, you have the opportunity to do it in your environments, in your sequestered environments. So now we begin with the latest on health and healing. According to Harvard Medical School, higher levels of the omega-3 fatty acids, especially the EPA, found in the blood, and not a decrease in triglyceride levels as originally thought, appear to explain the striking reductions in cardiovascular events and deaths seen among people taking 4 grams, that's 4,000 milligrams daily, of they took a prescription fish oil, but fish oil is fish oil, and that can help you. And this was presented at the American College of Cardiology's annual scientific session. So good news. Take your omega-3 fatty acids, and they're suggesting, I suggest between 2,000 to 3,000, 4,000 is fine, and you can help yourself. But they're simply saying, we thought it was reducing triglyceride levels, which is a risk marker for cardiovascular disease along with LDL and C-reactive protein, but it wasn't. It was working on a different level. Good. Excellent. Also, greater intake of calcium and vitamin D is associated with lower ovarian cancer risk. Now, this was from Jinan University in China, and what they did is simple. They took a look at what is called a meta, meaning looking at many different studies, and looking to see what commonalities they can find. So they looked at a total of 29 studies. And in these 29 studies, they found that when you increase your calcium and vitamin D, you decrease your risk of ovarian cancer. So that's a big deal, because ovarian cancer is serious, it's deadly, takes a lot of lives. So anything we can do to help lessen a woman suffering from any disease, we will do. So this is just one more piece of the puzzle. Now you hear me talking about quercetin, Q-U-E-R-C-E-T-I-N. It's the active ingredient in apples, in the skin, in onions, or you can take it as supplement. According to an article published in the Journal of the American Journal of Chinese Medicine, it is found to inhibit lung cancer when taken in a formula called Yang, that's Y-A-N-G, Yin, Y-I-N, Qing, Q-I-N-G, Fei, F-E-I, Tang, T-A-N-G. And that is posted on prn.fn under the section we have on nutrition. By the way, I no longer have a Facebook page, which is good. So the people who would come there, come to prn.fm, scroll down, and you'll see the latest on health nutrition information. And we just keep adding to it every day. Lots of new studies every day. Oh, by the way, not only will you get your information there, but we're also asking people, if you have a beautiful photograph of nature, I think those are very important. Share those. If you have a video of animals that can warm our heart and show us how precious animals are as sentient beings, send that, because every day I used to post videos of animals and great sayings by people to inspire us to higher levels of consciousness and beautiful shots of different natural scenes. So share that, and you share by doing this. You go to prnstudio@gmail.com, prnstudio@gmail.com. Also, we're adding something new, and we're getting very positive feedback. For those of us who are senior citizens and proud of it and have learned some lessons along the way and want to share our lessons, sometimes it's overcoming adversity. Sometimes it's feeling as if we had no advantages and no support system and a lot of obstacles, and yet we still persevered. Sometimes it's just making the right choices and living at a higher level of consciousness. Sometimes it's showing the discipline and commitment to helping ourselves live a happier and longer life can be a model for other people who are in a down place right now or wondering, what can I do? Why do you think I've done all this programming on the coronavirus? Because I don't want people motivated by panic and fear. I want them motivated by responsible reasoning, where if we know that we're going to be in our apartment or home, or we must go outside as people who have to work in essential industries are, how best to help ourselves be protected. And so, positive information. But also tomorrow, I'm going to start pushing back with lots of scientists from outstanding backgrounds saying we've been oversold on the coronavirus. Yes, it's real. Yes, it's deadly. But the numbers are not honest and accurate. I'll just give you one example. And this is coming from scientists all over the world. If a person dies today and they test positive for the coronavirus, that's the only cause of death. But we also know that the average age of a person dying of coronavirus is 80, with two or more confounding health issues where they have maybe congestive heart failure or cancer or end-stage emphysema. They would have died in any case from those conditions. But those are not now the cause of death. They're playing this game. Everybody who dies, they die of coronavirus. But what if they had other flus, other viruses? Doesn't matter. Coronavirus. So then the statistics are wrong. You bet they're wrong. And we've done everything wrong. We were utterly unprepared and are still unprepared. So this means that instead of having a healthcare system that is proactive, we are reacting in an irresponsible way, and we're reacting not based upon what we should be doing, like, for example, immediately producing only N99, the kind I wear, N99 face masks that adhere to the face, and nothing's going to get through, especially if you go one step further, as I suggested, wash it in hydrogen peroxide, just dip it in hydrogen peroxide, but also put hydrogen peroxide on the inside and outside, or colloidal silver, you don't have that, on the inside and outside. They're not even intelligent enough to do that, but they should be producing at least 500 million to a billion masks just for Americans. And that's not a priority. And these are not expensive masks, you know, $5. Instead, they're doing the things they shouldn't do. And so everyone is lining up to grab a part of that money. It's not going to where it should go. Remember a few years ago, I said after the hurricane, and I said we should be building hurricane centers in every community in the United States, federally funded, where it's proportionate in size to the size of a community. And if you have a big city that is vulnerable to the impact of a hurricane, then you have multiple ones outside the city. And you have fleets of buses that are purchased and warehoused until they're needed. And in this, it's elevated off the ground. It is hurricane-proof, and it's tornado-proof. It's so that it's not going to become a victim itself. And then you stock it with a full hospital, medical beds, commercial kitchens, big, huge kitchens with cafeteria, isolation wards in case there's an epidemic. And you have everything there to house as many people as possible. Not a single one has been considered or built. I then suggested that when I saw what devastation happened in Pakistan after the earthquake. Again, not a single thing. So it seems like we just can't get the message. In Australia, California, I suggested having areas that honest and realistic assessment, you shouldn't live there. They're not sustainable. If you didn't get hit by a fire, and thank goodness you didn't, what is the likelihood over the next 5 years that you wouldn't be hit by one of those fires? And then give yourself a 5-year assessment of risk evaluation to see, shouldn't you be moving? Shouldn't governors be telling people in low-lying areas of Florida like Homestead and the Keys and Miami, clear up through Dade County, and Fort Lauderdale, it's time now to start a movement. Now, if you want to move back, you got to move it way back, probably about 10 miles to your out of the city limits. Because if you think all you're going to do is what they're thinking now is just build an elevated road right off where the people live, that's just one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. So we have things, we have many things that we're going to have to consider now. All right. So if the government won't do it, the state won't do it, the media won't do it, they're all captured by special interest, at least you can do things for yourself. So if you know, for example, that you're susceptible to lung cancer, then it benefits you to look up quercetin and look up yang, yin, qing, fi, tang, a traditional Chinese medicine. And the article is published there. Quote, it inhibits the growth of small cell lung cancer cells. So, I'm sorry that we cannot for most things rely upon the honesty, the integrity, or the engineer capacity of our government to solve our problems. And if you doubt me, go down to the lower ninth ward where I've been and see that after, I think it was $40 billion the Corps of Engineers spent, someone wasn't thinking. That will only protect you unless you have a Category 4 or 5 storm. In a Category 4 or 5, all that water is going to come right back over the walls, and you'll have all the flooding all over again. So this is the mindless kind of thinking that's going on. Next up, the National Institutes of Pharmaceutical Education and Research, which is in India, found that a vegetable compound, and you've heard me mention this many times, sulforaphane, that decreases the amyloid beta oligomers, mediated decrease in the phagocytic activity in the microglial cells. In lay language, it means that it helps your brain not increase amyloid beta plaque, which leads to Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, and also dementia. Not so much Parkinson's, but certainly Alzheimer's and dementia. So, broccoli, there it is, cauliflower, Brussels sprouts, asparagus, kale, radishes, those are all rich sources of sulforaphane. So that's good. Help your brain, because it's neuroinflammatory reactions to the average diet that impacts the microglia. So if you take things that lead to inflammation, like French fries, hot dogs, hamburgers, soft drinks, alcohol, smoking, then everything you do that you shouldn't do, you're one step closer to causing the inflammatory cytokines and other inflammatory agents in the blood, free radicals, to actually set your future before you. It's like you're standing back, as if you're in a virtual reality movie and you're looking at a screen and the screen begins to build a structure and you're thinking, wow, that's kind of neat. And it's building it with time-lapse photography, so you're getting to see how it got built. And suddenly you see that structure is you, and it's your brain, and you think, well, hold on, I'm only 35 years old. That structure is 70, and it's decrepit, and it's diseased, yeah? We're just showing you ahead what, if you keep going, doing what you're doing, with defiance and attitude, that's what you're building. At some point, you have to take responsibility for your choices so you can change them, or you end up with what you get. From the University of Miami comes a study about meditate regularly for an improved attention span, especially in older age. That's good. So what they're saying is this. Regular intensive meditation sessions over the course of a lifetime can help a person remain active and focused right through their aging process. And this was published in the Journal of Cognitive Enhancement. So meditation, once again, good for you. And also, I'll just do one more now. Air pollution is linked to dementia and cardiovascular disease. This is from the highly respected, non-political, and not industry captured, like our FDA and CDC, the Karolinska Institute in Sweden, published in the Journal of American Medical Association Neurology. What it says is simple. People continuously exposed to air pollution, that's people who drive, by the way, and truck drivers and cab drivers, and people who live near highways, are at increased risk of dementia, especially if they suffer from cardiovascular diseases. So we have a lot of pollution in America, and we kind of get used to it, and we shouldn't. And on an upcoming program, I'm going to deal with some of the underlying reasons that so many men have erectile dysfunction and how to correct it without drugs, because it's serious. According to the Journal of Endocrine Society, men with erectile dysfunction can face higher risks of death. So this research was done at Leuven University Hospital in Belgium. So what is the cause of the problem? And what are some of the natural non-toxic solutions? We'll talk about that in depth. One last one from the University of Colorado. Dietary supplement shows promise for reversing cardiovascular aging. Now, this is very big, but you already know it. Now, scientists have long known that restricting calories can fend off physiological signs of aging. Good. And I dealt with this at length last night. So you're going to see this up on YouTube. And those of you at home, you're going to get this, I guess, later today or tomorrow. But now they have found with their studies that by chronically slashing intake by about a third can have enormous health benefits. In some cases, life-extending benefits. So that's what's important. So you need to restrict your calories, and that can help kickstart the same chemical pathways that help with health benefits. And take one supplement. That supplement is NAD, a nicotinamide riboside. And this was published in the peer-reviewed journal Nature Communications. So that's the latest on health and nutrition. I'm Gary Nall. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, a special report, good news on what you can do to help protect yourself from all forms of conditions that can manifest in the upper respiratory tract. So just think of all the Americans suffering from problems. Now we have solutions. Please stay with us. Welcome all of you from all over the world. We're here to empower people. We believe in freedom of speech, not just politically correct speech. We believe that people have a right to their opinion even when they're wrong, and we would like to hear when people are wrong so at least we can have an open dialogue. And what if we're wrong? Then we should have a dialogue and let people challenge it. If something's not reasonable, it's not reasonable. But you have to understand the context in which something is shared. Otherwise, you can get so close to a problem. This is what identity politics people do. They get so close to a problem that has been so hyper-personalized. It's like looking at a beautiful Van Gogh painting from 1 inch away. Yeah, you're seeing the painting, but only the detailed strokes. So you're counting the strokes, and you're not seeing the picture. Pull back. Walk 10 feet, 20 feet. Now look at it. Does it change your perception of what you're seeing? So what happens is we get so immersed in our own emotions about what we feel and whether we've been righted or wronged, whether we're on the right side or wrong side of an issue, our defense mechanisms kick in. And right now we're a nation of victims, and we embrace that energy. That's not healing energy. That's not loving energy. That's not forgiving energy. And that's not an energy that transforms. It maladapts down. And that's why our body politic is so misguided. The media is misguided. Corporate interest over human needs is misguided. And that's why it's time for the wiser people among us, younger or old. Wisdom is not a trademark of age, but of insight and liberation of your thought process. And so that's why when I look at an issue, I say, take the ego out and just look, what can we do to learn from it or become better people? So that's what we're in the process of doing. This is an article that is now posted on prn.fm. So please download it. If you find the article reasonable, if you find it responsible, if you find it well-documented, if you find it, we've cited only the peer-reviewed journal on PubMed, so our scholarship is what we can say can justify this position, not our opinion, then share it with others, because then you're possibly helping save a life. The article is entitled Simple, Effective Natural Ways to Maintain a Healthy Respiratory System. Now, a hallmark of the novel coronavirus, COVID-19, is that it infects the upper respiratory tract, accompanied by shortness of breath, a chronic cough, and frequent chills and fever and fatigue. However, these are symptoms similar but not limited to many other viral infections, including other strains of COVID and avian and flu, swine flu, for example, respiratory viruses. So there are a lot of other viruses that have very similar manifestations. And if a person doesn't have really good, let's say, evidence by biological testing, then someone's just guessing. And what if they guess wrong and give you the wrong treatment? But no one's talking about how to prevent this except the common sense, realistic, and practical way of washing your hands. But there's so many other things you can do. So the conventional war chest for arming ourselves against respiratory infections are drugs that can lessen the severity of these symptoms and hopefully will kill the virus to prevent it from worsening. But pharmaceutical medications are not the only recourse we can rely upon. There are non-toxic supplements, medicinal botanicals, and common sense actions people can adopt to protect themselves. Consequently, even if infected by COVID-19 or another respiratory virus, our immune system can be strengthened naturally to dramatically reduce the risk of serious complications. At the moment, the primary dispensers of information about the pandemic would include the White House, the CDC, the National Institute of Allergies and Infectious Disease, that's Anthony Fauci's group, and the World Health Organization, a highly politicized group. The mainstream media and state and local health officials have been completely relying upon just the limited comments and reports from these sources to inform or educate the public. However, what has not been communicated are the clinical experiences and scientific advice from around the world that contain valuable information and analysis to share. In China, Europe, Japan, and the United States, there are tens of thousands or more physicians and medical professionals using alternative modalities such as nutritional therapy, naturopathic therapies, traditional Chinese medicine, Ayurvedic medicines, to further protect patients from respiratory infections alongside or to complement conventional drug protocols. Now, unfortunately, none of these, not one of them, of the non-conventional doctors or professionals are being asked for their consultation, or is the large body of scientific peer-reviewed literature that supports their regimens being recommended. We're referring to studies published in respected journals and research conducted by important centers of medical investigation. The question, therefore, is why has such a contingent of people on the forefronts of prevention every day, long before, years, decades before there was a coronavirus, why are these real experts not being called upon, but rather marginalized? And why are only people who have no background or experience in prevention using natural, non-toxic lifestyle or these other, why are they dominating and the only voices in the media? Therefore, we want to share simple, natural ways to protect your respiratory system and lungs during this stressful period. None of this information is folk tales, but rather it is based upon, again, research that we only found in the National Library of Medicine and other professional medical sources. Unfortunately, being cooped up indoors for long, extended periods of time has its own health risks. It has been shown extensively that indoor air usually has higher concentrations of some toxins than outdoor air. Aside from the psychological effects of isolation, it adversely affects our immune system. People who spend too much time indoors readily become vitamin D deficient, which is essential for immune protection to avoid contracting infections. It also disrupts our natural circadian rhythms, thereby contributing to poor sleep patterns. For the large majority of people, our homes and apartments are ridden with allergens, dust, molds, various fungi, outgassings from carpets and the cheap particle board that is glued together with toxic glues, our cabinets, and of course, cold, like causing germs. It is estimated that most Americans have anywhere between 400 to 800 chemicals stored in their bodies, and these are often hoarded in fat cells. Of course, poorly ventilated homes are far more dangerous. Furthermore, many of our everyday household products contain numerous chemical toxins and irritants such as volatile organic compounds, or VOCs, heavy metals, the PBDEs, or flame retardants, phthalates, and biphenyl A that are commonly used in all plastics. The VOCs are found in aerosol products, dry cleaned clothes, paints, varnishes, floor wax, spot removers, and air fresheners. All of these chemicals can vaporize easily, thereby further polluting indoor air quality. The same is true for pesticides that we might have in our homes. Ozone can damage the lungs and can contribute to shortness of breath and coughs. And yet, we don't look at what in our house can be giving off toxins, including those who use the pilot lights. That's giving off a toxic gas. Sunlight not only increases our level of vitamin D, but is essential for immune protection. It also raises serotonin levels that can boost our moods. More sun, better mood. That's one of the reasons people love living in states like Florida and Texas and California and Arizona and Nevada, where you have a lot of sunlight, more than in other places. You feel better. And also, the finding was confirmed by scientists at the Baker Research Institute in Australia and published in the peer-reviewed journal The Lancet. Low serotonin, especially during winter months, has been associated with seasonal affective disorder, which is characterized by depression and fatigue and a lack of concentration. And of course, these effects have been shown to adversely affect our immune system. Therefore, making frequent efforts to get indoors and while maintaining social distancing not only raises our spirits, but also helps clear our respiratory systems from allergens and pollutants. So we need to be outdoors. We just need to be distanced. All right? Right now in Finland and other countries, people are spending a lot of time outdoors, not in groups, but outdoors. I suggested to a friend, he lives right beside Riverside Park, go out at night when you don't see people around, wear your mask, you know, put some hydrogen peroxide on the inside, outside of your mask, and colloidal silver on top of that, wear your gloves, and then go for a walk, go for a jog. You know, you can go out there and you can, you know, help yourself to an hour of really good, vigorous exercise as long as you're not close to other people, because they're not going to be wearing masks. You don't want to be running or walking behind someone, because every breath they take and exhale when you're outside, you're getting that full flow right into your face. So don't be beside or behind anyone. Just plenty of room to be alone. If you have a roof on your building, go up and sunbathe when you can during the daytime. In other words, don't feel that you have to be in a room with the windows down. We have over-panicked the public, and that's unfortunate. We haven't showed them what they can do to make their isolation or their confinement easier on them, especially knowing it's not just physical escape from contamination by the virus. Also, are we telling everyone who does go to work and sits on subways, buses, trains, cabs, car services, don't go home and sit down. Take those clothes off and wash them. That will kill the viruses, any viruses, and bacteria, and parasites. So at least you're not cross-contaminating. Also, to keep your immune system strong, we have to keep our immune system fed. It's what you give. So when you're outdoors and you're getting fresh air and your body is stimulating and releasing toxins, and you're stimulating lymphatic flow, which sitting actually accumulates toxins in the lymphatic system, then you're healthier. For example, a series of studies conducted by the University of Rochester found that being outdoors increases both physical and mental vitality. Getting a sufficient amount of outdoor exposure is one of the surest natural ways to cleanse our lungs. Other methods include steam therapy. That's good. Inhaling vapor water, especially if you put some eucalyptus oil in there, and exercise to clean airways and drain mucus from the bronchia. There are also plenty of foods and herbs and even supplements that can protect the lungs and keep the nasal and respiratory passages clear. Water is absolutely essential for maintaining healthy lungs, since dry lungs result in irritation that increases the risk of infection. Also, following the Mediterranean diet has been shown by epidemiologists at Harvard to have protective effects for allergic respiratory diseases, largely due to the high intake of olive oil. So a teaspoon to tablespoon of olive oil, teaspoon to tablespoon of coconut oil will help us. Potassium is a vital mineral for proper lung function. You get it in coconut water or a supplement. It is not uncommon for people who are deficient in potassium to experience sporadic breathing problems. Therefore, including potassium-rich foods in a daily meal pattern would be helpful, such as avocados, dark green leafy vegetables, tomatoes, beets, bananas, and oranges. All can raise and sustain healthy potassium levels. Several studies have shown that apples can improve lung function. A study out of St. George's Hospital Medical School in London followed 2,500 individuals between the ages of 45 and 59. Among the various vitamins and food consumed, vitamin E and apples, I repeat, vitamin E and apples, I would suggest 400 to 800 units of vitamin E, and apples were the most effective for slowing the decline in lung function. For people with a history of asthma, apples, which are rich in flavonoids and quercetin, are inversely linked with asthma and decreased bronchial hypersensitivity and positively improve general pulmonary health. The more apples, the more onions, the more quercetin, the more vitamin E, the healthier the lungs. Celery contains two important antioxidants, apigenin, A-P-I-G-E-N-I-N, and lutein, L-U-T-E-O-L-I-N, that both have been associated with reducing inflammation associated with our nasal passages and lungs. It has been shown to be particularly beneficial for those who have allergies that can hinder respiration. And of course, it's important to know whether or not you have a rare allergy to celery itself. In an earlier report that we shared on the air here, we stated that the health benefits of nitric oxide, nitric, N-I-T-R-I-C, and why do I spell things? Because we have people listening all over the world where English is not their first language. So I want to give them the spelling of something so they can continue the research by looking it up and seeing even the more benefits. So nitric oxide is a signaling molecule to strengthen our immune system's response to invasion. One of the best sources of increasing nitric oxide levels, in addition to improved endothelial function by decreasing oxidative stress, are red beets. Most of our respiratory passageways from our nasal cavity to our bronchia are lined with epithelium. Our lungs, on the other hand, are lined with a simple squamous epithelium, or what is called goblet cells. Beets are one important food that protects these cells to maintain the health of our entire respiratory system. Beets and beet juice have also been shown by researchers at Southern Methodist University to help prevent common cold symptoms, especially during periods of increased physiological and psychological stress. Green tea and quercetin can promote healthy lungs due to their antioxidant properties. Both act as natural antihistamines that reduce respiratory irritation and inflammation. A study of 1,000 adults conducted by the Medical School of Kyung-hee University in South Korea found that participants who drank 2 cups of green tea per day had better respiratory function than those who didn't drink any. Japanese matcha, M-A-T-C-H-A, tea, has been investigated and found to be a more powerful antioxidant than regular green teas. One could conclude that having a daily juice comprised of fresh apples, celery, beets, and garlic, which includes the powerful antimicrobial biomolecule allicin, A-L-L-I-C-I-N, that kills human lung pathogenic bacteria, can have an enormous impact on cleansing and protecting our lungs. Matcha tea can be purchased as powders and also added to our daily juice. It is our opinion that following this type of guideline, along with getting sufficient outdoor exposure and exercise, reducing sources of toxicity, like you shouldn't be having wall-to-wall carpets. Ideally, you have hardwood floors. And if you don't have hardwood floors, then use a sealant, a natural sealant, to keep the outgassing from occurring. You can even take a natural sealant, even beeswax, and massage it into cupboards where they might have had the cheap particle board, where they take pieces of boards and they glue them together with a toxic glue, and that can outgas for years. So you use a sealant over any of this, and then go around and really look under beds, in corners, take down drapes, wash them if you've got them, blinds, wipe down the blinds with hydrogen peroxide. It'll kill bacteria, molds, yeast, and fungi. And go under, throw all of the chemicalized detergents and products you have away. There's plenty of good products. And stores, necessary food stores, are open. But try to find out when they open and be the first there, because then the air is cleanest. Wear your mask. Wear protection. All right? Wear gloves. And remember, whatever you purchase in the way of a green product, like an aerotherapy, there are many different brands, but I always get the one with orange or lemon, and you just walk around your house and you spray it up in the air, and that traps and kills bacteria. And because the bacteria from what you're breathing is landing on surfaces, that's the big problem today. And that way, you can go out, get what you need, get it natural, throw away that which is not, and take everything out of your refrigerator and wipe it down with a combination of alcohol and hydrogen peroxide so you can disinfect it. But wash everything you bring in the house. Wash every bottle. If you buy a bottle of vitamin D, then wash it. Just wash everything, because then you minimize your opportunity for cross-infections. There's more, and I'll be sharing more with you. And this article is published on PRN.fm. But we'd like to hear about your changes. I'd love to see photographs and stories from people who, well, like last night, there's a separate little, maybe it's 15 minutes long, where three people who are here at the Anti-Aging, these three people had gone through periods in their life suffering from lifetime depression, seeing multiple doctors on every medication you could take, one said, and now he's not depressed at all. And this is sustained over 6 months. But he tells his story. A woman who was a smoker and a drinker and did a lot of, you know, caused a lot of damage to her body. Now she's regaining her health at 76 and learning all new lessons and is happy, not making bad choices, and what it means to make positive choices, the mindset that it takes to make a positive choice rather than a negative choice. Another person overcame major diseases, including life-threatening diseases, happy and healthy today. I want you to hear their stories to show that if they can do it, so can others. So if you have a story of how you got your health back, we'd like to hear it. We'd like to share it. If you're a person that really is exemplary for your age, we want to show your picture and tell your story. So write your stories. Don't make them too long. You know, like maybe 3 or 4 paragraphs at the most. Because we have a lot of people reading that, and I want them to see that as long as someone else is doing what someone else could and should do but hasn't yet done, then they know there's still time, and there's an example of it. You're the example. So your example, my example, can hopefully motivate other people to make better choices. That's all. It's that simple. Okay? And tomorrow, 12 experts question the coronavirus panic. They're not questioning coronavirus, they're questioning the panic. These are top physicians, scientists from around the world who are saying how we're going about this should be put in check and there should be better ways. We need a diversity of ideas, and the mainstream media is not allowing that. The White House is not allowing it. And we believe that we can learn from it. Look, all the people came to this anti-aging study. Every one of them did the protocol to be on a plane and came safely. Now, mind you, every single person here, myself included, have been in quarantine. But it hasn't stopped us from enjoying meals and lectures and exercising in nature. It's just that we're doing it, staying a distance apart, and not a single person sick. And today ends that quarantine for about half the people, but the other half, they're eating in a different location, but they're eating the same food. They're juicing in a different location. So, you know, this is an opportunity to understand what you can do and do it right. Because I can assure you, there's no safer place I know of right now in America. And what if everyone at home and every office where they had to work were following the protocols we're doing here to ensure safety, ensuring our immune system being built up every day by our exercise, our meditation, our eating, our juicing, our supplementation, our quality quiet time, not wasting time watching, you know, reruns, but rather doing deep introspective thinking. That's it for today. Thank you all. I'll see you tomorrow. Have a nice day. And tonight, 7 o'clock, don't forget, that's an important show, PRN.FM. Thank you for all for listening.